The Jockey Club Gold Cup star-studded field featuring Preservationist and Code of Honor just got even better. Right now, you can bet the races with a $200 new member bonus with Naira Bets. Sign up for a Naira Bets account today with the promo code MONEY and earn your $200 bonus. With Naira Bets, you can bet any track, anywhere, anytime. Why not get things started with this stakes-studded Jockey Club Gold Cup card on Saturday? And don't forget, use the promo code MONEY. Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you from the Brooklyn Bunker ahead of a very busy Saturday of stakes racing out at beautiful Belmont Park to go over the late pick five as well as a couple of other spots. Earlier on the card, we have with us the People's Champion, Jonathan Kinchin, coming in from the Planet Texas. JK, how are you?
I'm good. I was in the Planet New York a few weeks ago. I love that city. I just, something about crossing the street and possibly losing your life gets me excited.
Oh my God. JK, adrenaline junkie. For those who don't know, complete exaggeration. You can traverse the city streets extremely safely. And also to clarify, you're talking about traffic, yes?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, you just can't walk, like, you know, in Texas, if I'm downtown, I can look one way and just kind of cross the street. In New York, you better look twice, look again, and then hurry up across the street because you will get clipped.
Yes, 100%. I just didn't want people to misinterpret what you were saying there. All right.
I'm talking about traffic, not human, correct. No human threats.
I think there's probably some people listening in states in the middle of the country who are like, damn, I didn't know it was that dangerous. No, it is not dangerous in that regard. But yeah, you do want to look both ways before crossing the street. Analysis you can't get just anywhere, but you can get from our Naira Bets podcast. Okay. We talked on the other show about the Grade 1 Vosburgh and the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. I think we should quickly summarize our thoughts here. Folks want a more in-depth discussion, they can go over there because that will give us time to talk about some of these other races. We don't have a ton of time on today's show. Let's start off with the Vosburgh. It's part of the early pick five. And let me ask you very specifically, from an early pick five player's perspective, what are you doing here, JK?
Yeah, I need to dig a little deeper into the first, second, and third leg, but I do have some thoughts about the fourth and the fifth leg, the fourth being the Vosburgh, like you mentioned. Look, there's three horses that can win this race, theoretically. There's two horses that can really win the race in reality, and there's one horse that I think that is going to probably win the race. I think Imperial Hint is going to win the race. I think Imperial Hint or Frenzy Fire could win the race, and I think Imperial Hint, Frenzy Fire, or Promises Fulfilled might win the race, right? I'm just against Promises Fulfilled because of the presence of Imperial Hint and Frenzy Fire. I also think there's a possibility Promises Fulfilled might be going the wrong direction. I also think that Promises Fulfilled, his weapon is speed, but I feel like that weapon is better going seven than it is going six because he has to run faster, earlier, use more energy to use that weapon going six. And he's going against horses that might not harm as much if he's going seven, where he can kind of go a little bit more controlled finish against horses that he's stretching out in the field, kind of getting them off the bridle, so on and so forth. Complex thought. We talk about it a little bit more on the In the Money Players podcast that we that is out this week as well, in the late week show. So if you're going to play this pick five, I don't believe that you should use more than one horse. If you're against Imperial Hint, then be against Imperial Hint and use Frenzy Fire or Promises Fulfilled. If you are a believer in Imperial Hint, then just use Imperial Hint. There's an equity situation here that can get weird if you start using multiple horses in a small field that everyone else is going to have. Now, if you think you can beat those horses for whatever reason, then sure, use Imperial Hint and Brown Buckeye or Imperial Hint and American Power or Imperial Hint and Call Paul. I just don't believe that those three horses are good enough to beat the three horses we've been talking about. So that's my view of the Vosburgh. Now, on to race five.
I don't get to talk about the Vosburgh.
Oh, I thought we were going quick. I didn't know.
I'm gonna take exactly half of your advice. Okay, So I am going to use just one, but it's not going to be Imperial Hint. I'm just going to make a small flyer with Firenze Fire here with the idea that Promises Fulfilled is going to run a lot better, spent time where you didn't want to be the last day. Granted, the race was so bad that it's hard to just blame it on the racetrack, but whatever. I trust the hands that Promises Fulfilled is in. I think he's going to do enough to give Imperial Hint enough of a race to set it up for Firenze Fire, who I think is going in the right direction. Firenze Fire for me in the Vossberg. But JK, I am excited by the fact that you clearly have something you really want to talk about coming up in this fifth race.
Well, look, you know, at Saratoga, we learn a lot of lessons. We hear a lot of things. We do a lot of things. We have bad beats. We have good scores. But it always seems to really stick with us, and it carries on. Boxer Rebellion, the four horse in this race, unless there's an entry. I don't have numbers yet, so maybe not the four, but Boxer Rebellion, Chad Brown, Irad Ortiz, Stephanie Seymour Brandt. Boxer Rebellion was one of those horses that was like a buzz horse. You had heard from all over, from different sources, from a source that knows this person, from this person who knows that person, and this person who knows this person, that are in no way connected, that this was a really good horse for Chad Brown that was going to run well on debut, very similar to a lot of horses that Chad actually does win with. So Boxer Rebellion didn't run all that great. When you look at the PPs as to why that happened, the only excuse I could really come up with is that the pace was slow that day, was kind of stuck down inside, and ran into a horse in Sparkling Sky for Todd Pletcher, who was the horse that was involved in that controversial DQ where Cristal was DQ'd at 40-something to 1, who then came back to win the stake. So there's a reason why Boxer Rebellion got beat that day. The other thing is I think Irad, Chad, learned something that day with a talented horse, and whatever it is they learned, I don't know what it is, they can probably make an adjustment to actually get the real Boxer Rebellion to show up. You can believe that or you cannot believe it. I'm going to err on the side that he's going to make those adjustments, that we'll see the horse that we heard all the buzz about. So I'll be singling Imperial Hint into Boxer Rebellion. Still got some work to do on the first three races.
I'm going to go against you again, JK. I did like Boxer Rebellion that day, but to me, big standout in the paddock, one of the best-looking two-year-olds, just in terms of just popping my eye as they came walking by during Saratoga. I loved Our Little Jewel, and I thought Our Little Jewel had a little bit of a trip excuse and reason to run better after a little bit of greenness or something going on early in the last race. I respect Boxer Rebellion, and I will have some straight Boxer Rebellion over Our Little Jewel, but it's Our Little Jewel for me in the race that will close out the early pick five on Saturday. Did you have anything against Our Little Jewel, or yours was more of just a pro Boxer Rebellion opinion?
It was more pro Boxer Rebellion. I'm also curious why a horse who was tossing their head early in a slow-paced race is now adding blinkers. It seems like we're asking for a runoff here, which I think will be better for Boxer Rebellion. I mean, but look, like I said, I've never trained a horse. I can barely get my kid to eat his food before he eats his French fries. So I would imagine that that Michael Trombetta has a reason for doing what he's doing, and I'll trust that that reason makes sense, but I'm at least curious about it.
It's something worth considering for sure, but Trombetta to me, one of a really, really strong under-the-radar trainer, so I do have a little bit of in Trombetta we trust thing going on with that, but it's certainly worthy of discussion. All right, let's move on to this late pick five. It begins in the seventh race. We are on the turf. 6 furlongs on the inner for a New York bred allowance race. Do you have anything strong in here before we get into some of these stakes races?
Well, I mean, I think every time you see Jason Service in a turf sprint, you know, there needs to be some consideration there. So obviously High Jingo and Hollywood Cat are horses that I would have a really hard time taking off the ticket. I need something very heavy to get rid of a Jason Service turf sprinter. In this spot, I just didn't really have a strong opinion, so I was going to use those two. Also, keep in mind, you have to keep in mind when you're coming back from Saratoga, the distances are going to be a little bit different, so performances could be different as well. I thought Stone Factor had a right. Maybe he had to go a little bit too quick last time going 5.5, and maybe the 6 will fit that one a little bit better for Carlos Martin and Kendrick Carmouche, who will find himself forwardly placed. And then I also thought that Saratoga Treasure was one that I think will appreciate a little bit more ground, ran well going 7 two times at Belmont, and the 5.5 just kind of was a little bit too sharp, kind of had some trouble in that race as well. So I thought Saratoga Treasure made sense as well. I'm going to spread here. I'm going to use the two service horses. I'm also going to use Saratoga Treasure and Stone Factor in this spot because I'm going to be skinny for the rest of the ticket.
Stone Factor was the one I wanted. I mean, you nailed the reason. Excuse, surface excuse last time, two back, went quick, going shorter. Maybe just can control it this time going 6 furlongs, but I respect the ones you mentioned as well. So I think we're both in a bit of a spready mindset, but I'll be thickest going forward if I can get Stone Factor in race 7 on Saturday, which leads us to the grade 2 Beldame and the return to the races of Midnight Bisou. When you said you were thinking about going skinny the rest of the way, was it all going to be number ones for race 8 for your picks?
Yeah, I don't. The only alternative to me really is Wildcat, and I just don't think she's in the same league as Midnight Bisou. The problem is with this Bisou is like, really want to beat her. You know, I want to beat her, and I know I can beat her. I just can't find anyone to beat her with here. And the Breeders' Cup, I feel confident I'll be able to find someone to beat her with, but you know, but she's, you know, that the prices are going to be short, whether it's a late or Dunbar Road or whoever shows up there. So Bisou here, we'll wait for another day to try to get cute and beat her. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking her. I just think that she's more vulnerable than her parimutuel price will be and has been and will continue to be.
It would be a host fail if I didn't ask you why.
You know, she doesn't make her own trip, really. You know, she's got to come from off of it. She is talented. Don't get me wrong. I think she's a really good horse. I think she's a special horse. She's a fun horse. She gave me one of my favorite moments with her in a late. I just don't think she is. She's no Rachel Alexandra. She's no Monomoy girl. Yeah, she's just not these horses that no matter the circumstance, she's going to find a way to win. At some point, there's going to be a circumstance in which she gets beat, and I just don't. She's bet like she's never going to lose again, always. And I mean, I guess maybe not last time because a late ended up going off favored, but I just think she's primed to get beat. I just don't know when or how, but it ain't going to be Saturday. But I will say that the rider change for a horse who is a horse that I feel like you want to have a timed ride on, an understood ride on. Mike Smith's been riding her in her win streak, her current win streak. The last time she lost, it was with Johnny Velasquez. And don't trust me, I'm not saying it was Johnny's fault she got beat. I'm simply saying that with Mike riding McKenzie out west, Johnny picks up the mount here. I would imagine this is a one-time situation for Johnny to pick up this mount, and in the Breeders' Cup, Mike Smith will be back on. Don't get, you know, Johnny could not know the horse well enough and not know when he needs to move and not know how long her drive and her kick can be. I'd imagine he'll hop on the phone with Mike Smith to get some insight, but there's nothing like sitting on their back.
Interesting. You're hedging a little bit there, but it sounds like your overwhelming impulse is to just single and move on.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. I think he'll get the job done. I'm giving people who might have that contrarian desire to beat her in this spot, something to lean on. I'm not going to try to beat her here. I'm going to try to beat her another time. But if you want to try to beat her here, there's another reason to look at.
Let's talk about the Grade 3 Pilgrim, 2-year-old colts going 1 1/16 on the turf in Belmont's 9th race on Saturday. I'm going to give you one here, and you're going to tell me if I'm crazy. I want our country back in this spot, JK. There'll be a Chad Brown favorite in all likelihood, but I wonder if, or maybe a Todd Pletcher favorite with no word, but I think our country has some things to recommend and stacks up nicely on the figures, especially if you forgive the last effort where there was a couple of trip excuses, I thought.
Yeah, I want two horses. Two horses here. I want two. I'm going to use three. The two that I'm going to use are No Word. That race was fast. This horse is a half. To Silentio, who was a great miler out on the West Coast. This horse freaked on debut, got a really fast number, and I think that this horse is the real deal for Todd Pletcher, No Word. I'm going to also use Our Country immediately after the race. I texted our buddy Jake Ballas, who's really good friends with George Weaver, and I said, the horse is going to win next time. He got extremely unlucky. He stumbled at the start. he was angry. He was ranked the entire time, and he ranged like he was going to do something. And then obviously the slow pace and the earlier part of the race was a problem for him. I think our country is another one that is extremely alive. And then I'm going to have some saver tickets with Famish, one of the most impressive. That's not fair. Not the most impressive, but an impressive winner of a 2-year-old dirt race now switches over to the turf. Now, interesting thing about Famished is Famished was working with Cristal on the dirt at Saratoga. And so there was a little bit of evidence that Famished was good, although Cristal is a turf horse. But then earlier at Belmont, since that last race, Famished worked with Cristal on the turf. And then John Kimble decided, let's put Famished on the turf. That work must have been good, at least good enough for him to try the spot. He'll be an attractive price trying the turf for the first time. So I'll kind of use him as a B horse. I'll have more tickets going through Our Country and No Word, but I'll have a couple of tickets going through Famished.
I love that angle. Do you think I'm wrong that Structure is going to be the favorite here? We don't have morning lines. David Aragon is so good at his job. I'd love to see what he says here. I was just figuring, based on all the attendant hype from Structure first time out, that that might continue. Bet to even money on debut and won by 1.25. What are your thoughts on Structure as a horse and how Structure is going to be bet in here?
No, I don't think so. I'm no morning line maker, but I think that with Our Country being favored in a stake last time, having a stake, being favored in a stake, it has some weight with the trip, so he'll be bet. And then also No Word having the big figure last time, being a Todd Pletcher, I think that Structure will be the third choice.
Okay, interesting. And I do want to put in a word for No Word, because I did have a trip note from that race that I thought he was one that just visually looked like would improve for the run. So to look like you'd improve and run that way, a little bit extra impressive. Now, the caveat here, Todd Pletcher's, yes, they improve second out, but they don't always improve second out the way you'd expect from another barn. They often do come out fully formed. But this one, just because gave that visual impression, I'm going to have a lot of No Word and a lot of Our Countries. And I apologize for my ignorance if I was talking like Our Country was going to be an alternative to the favorite if our country ends up being the favorite. But we'll see how they bet. And in pretty much any case, Our Country and No Word are going to be all over my tickets. And that's a very clever angle on Famished. I'm going to keep that one in mind as well, JK. Let's talk about the Jockey Club Gold Cup. We went in depth here on the other show. But I'll let you sum things up for the folks who are just listening to the Naira Betts show.
Yeah, I used a line on the last show. I feel like I got to use it again. I'm going to use two horses. I only need two horses here. And neither of those two horses won the Travers. So I'm going to press more of like an A horse Tacitus. I think he's going to win this race. I'd rather him not win this race, because I'd get a 15-1 on him in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he would run second again, show up there. I think he's a talented horse who's just been very, very unlucky. He's got himself into bad situations. I think it's very interesting that while everyone else in the world thought that Bill Mott made the biggest mistake in the world with the blinkers are still on for the Hall of Fame trainer. I think that him and Jose liked the way the horse ran. I think they just realized that he kind of got a weird trip down in there thinking Mucho Gusto was going to go. He didn't go. Then he got stuck down inside on the bad part of the racetrack. So I like Tacitus in here to win, but I'm also going to use Preservationist a little bit as well. I think Preservationist is one that has impressed me. He's run well at Belmont. They seem to have him going in the right direction, and I think his Woodward race was extremely impressive. He showed a lot of guts in that race, and obviously the 1.25 is not going to be a problem. His best race to date, I think, is probably the Suburban on this racetrack at this distance. So I'm just against Code of Honor because I think he's going to be overbet. I think he was on the right part of the racetrack last time. I think he got a little bit of a setup last time. I think that Shug has mentioned a number of times that this is a very light horse that needs time in between races. He had almost 2 months in between the Derby and the Dwyer, almost 2 months between the Dwyer and the Travers, and now he's coming back in about a month for this race. I'm going to try to beat him here.
It is amazing that in this day and age, a month can be practically considered a wheel back. You make the point about the blinkers and Tacitus. You say everyone in the world thought it was a bad idea. I think you meant four guys on Twitter.
Four guys on Twitter and 17 guys who got beaten, singled them, and don't understand race riding.
That's pretty funny. I'm very happy to see the blinkers still on just because I feel like it would just confuse the horse even more at this point. I like the idea of Jose and second blinkers, and I like Tacitus to step up here. I mean, I'm with you with wanting him on all the tickets.
The other thing about Tacitus, I think it's important to mention, and Maggie Wolfendale did a phenomenal job bringing this up in the Jim Dandy, and also bringing it up before and after the Travers, is he was naughty before the Jim Dandy. He left his race on the racetrack a little bit early, kind of carrying on before the start, and that's why he was unfocused when they broke away from there. And the Travers with the blinkers, that was not an issue. Maggie pointed out that he was doing much better. He was focused. He wasn't being a bad boy. And so I think that's another reason why they're going to keep him on, to keep him focused, keep him whatever he did pre-race in the Travers, they liked. And so he's going to stay there. Trust me, if Jose Ortiz thought the blinkers were a bad idea, he's probably got more flack on his rides for this horse than any other horse he's ridden. He would tell Billy Mott, look, boss man, this horse needs to take these blinkers off. And the fact that they're on from the leading rider at Saratoga and a Hall of Fame trainer in Bill Mott is a vote of confidence for me.
I really hope we get to see the real Tacitus. I will be saving with Code of Honor in a – I have no reason to be against Preservationist. But in my initial reckoning of the race, I was going to try to beat him. And I guess it's just a horse who I thought – seems very capable of, with all the issues of not running the A race, and I mean the real reason is I didn't want to use three or four, which I think you probably could in here. The other, I will, taking a page from your book when you're talking about Midnight Bisou, to hedge a little, I will throw out this as a positive angle for Preservationist. Seems very unlikely, based on quotes we've heard, that the Breeders' Cup is going to be in the offing for him. He's been all but ruled out, from what I understand. Does that make you more confident in him firing his best shot here? Is that part of the reason why you're interested in Preservationist as your alternative to Tacitus?
No. I mean, that helps, right? I mean, if there's a target and you know that's where they're going to run, but you know, the same can be said about Code of Honor, right? I mean, I've heard the same thing, not as probably as loud as the Preservationist talk. But at the same time, it does sound as if there is some leaning that Code of Honor might be his last race of the year too. So we'll see. I'm going to try to treat them like individuals and not get too caught up in the, is this the goal? Cause I think that will blurry the vision of what could absolutely happen.
It can be a dangerous game, but it's one that I'm very tempted to play, and I almost wouldn't blame anybody who leaned more on Code of Honor and Preservationist for that reason. For me, however, I'm married to Tacitus. I've made the case for months about how I think he's better than what we've had an opportunity to see. Let's move on to the Nightcap JK, the race where we figure out how we're going to get paid. JK, what's your approach in the Belmont Nightcap?
I'm going to just use two horses here. I'm going to use Malthael. I think I said that right. It looks like Raphael with Malth in front. So I'm obviously a master of the English language. So I'm going to go with that. It's probably not even English. So I'm a master of all languages. If you look at his recent form cycle, on July 4th, he ran well enough at Belmont, going a mile and a 16th in a slow paced race. So obviously he might not have liked that. I mean, it looks like a good trip, but maybe he didn't like the slow pace. Maybe he wants to be able to gallop a little bit more or close into something. So there's a possible excuse there. And then he ran into Good Governance, who was one of the most impressive 3-year-old maiden winners that we saw at Saratoga for Chad Brown, a horse that didn't win his next race, his next stakes race, but he ran well enough. And it was impressive in there. And then he has the off the dirt race where, off the turf race, where he didn't run so well. So Malthael is one that I'm going to use. And then a rule of mine I have is when Mike Maker claims a horse and does something different, it's something I pay attention to. Yes, the horse was in for 40. Jorge Abreu put him in for 40 turf sprinting. Carlos Martin took him. Carlos Martin got him to run well for 40 going six. Then Mike Maker took him. And now he shows up here going longer, and he's in protected in a maiden special way. And so those are the only two that I felt like I needed. I can make a case for Chantry Flats, Darn to the Outside for Michelle Nevin. But those are the only two that I felt like I really needed and maybe a little savor on Chantry Flats on the outside.
I liked Mo Fun. That's a stats race lens angle for me with Mike Maker and I can't get away from the horse, but I'll take another little bit of a look at the ones you mentioned. I need to dig a little bit more on that race, but sometimes when you just look at a race quickly and you see something you know you're going to want to use, and for me that was Mo Fun in the nightcap at Belmont Park. All right, JK, truncated show today, but a lot going on around the country. We just wanted to make sure we got our listeners all the scoop about the stakes races and the late pick five at Belmont on Saturday. Anything else for you before we close out this edition of the Naira Betts podcast?
No, I think that's it, man. Looking forward to this weekend. Next weekend at Belmont is obviously going to be a ton of fun as well with Frisette, the Futurity, the Flower Bowl, the Champagne, the Turf Classic, the Belmont Turf Sprint. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff going on this weekend and next weekend. So a lot of good fun up at Belmont over the next couple of weeks.
I'm going to quiz you, and we didn't prep for this, so we'll have to see if you know the answer. When is the Miss Grillo? I feel like that and the Pilgrim were always the same day or at least the same weekend. Is that Sunday?
Let me think. I think the Miss Grillo is Sunday, September 29th. I'm just kidding. I haven't pulled up. I just tried to see it up, make it seem I was smart. No, it's Sunday for sure.
Okay, so that's
it's
one.
Sunday for sure.
Anybody you're sitting imagine, on there? Anybody you're waiting for Saratoga? We saw some nice 2-year-old fillies. Is Cristal coming back?
I was going to pull up nominations. I would imagine Cristal will be in there. She worked at Belmont last time. We talked about that early in the show, so it'll be fun to watch her in there. I think she's going to continue to improve. She's a nice, nice filly.
NFL on one TV, Fox's Naira coverage on the other. That's how I'll be spending my Sunday. Good stuff, JK. Thank you for your insights. As always, we want to thank all of you, the listeners, most of all. And we'll throw in another shout-out to our sponsor, Naira Betts. You hear the promo at the top of the show. If you like the show, if you like what you hear on the In the Money Media Network, do us a favor and support our partners. They enable this whole thing to happen, and we appreciate the continued support from them. And again, from all of you out there, sending us tweets, making comments, constructive criticism. We enjoy it all and appreciate it very much. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos. Cause I'm in. I'm in a New York state of.